You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Come to feel what you need when what you really want inside. you gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all?
Yeah. I never meant to kiss about
they
you.
Ain't giving up a second thought about you, no. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell me. With your life
running like a red disease,
running like a red disease. Ghetto people,
stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted. And we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and Black Talk Radio Network. .com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you wanted to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping to the weather was accommodating for you to do it, but of course, if it wasn't and it had to get done, it's something that must be done, you got it done. We appreciate you. Love you for it. Ashe. This is African Perspectives, and I know this past weekend was Marcus Garvey Day, yeah, on Saturday. So we had a chance to go someplace, some park or some event somewhere where they celebrated the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey, keep that man's memory alive and continue to say his name, for he truly, man, you know, oh yes, he's a human being, so he's fallible, you know, but still, he was courageous. He was courageous. And also, too, told us that it is all about African unity, one Africa. The people that I talk about, the people that I promote, all of them say the same thing. It wasn't about one country, it wasn't about one people, it wasn't about one that. It was all about African unity. And that's what we must do. And that's what this program is about. This program is about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. The model of the program, Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. So let's bring it on. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, go to the archives. That's right. Go to the archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. And then there's a lot of programs, too. Yeah. African Perspectives. Programs live. I'm going to start changing up on the intro part of our program, the announcements that I used to do every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I'm going to do them once a week, and it all depends upon, you know, what's happening. We got a guest or if there's some other issues. And so I'm going to make those announcements this Wednesday, you know, because I always got to do it because, I mean, I don't charge anybody for the things that I have announced. What I do is I feel that these things that I do announce are important, and we should look at them, and as I say them to you, put jot their email addresses down or their website addresses down and take a good look at them. Some of them definitely deserve to be supported financially. So if you can kick them out a little something, just a one-time something, or a monthly something, beautiful. Please do so, you know, because some of these places, they, you know, in fact, everything that I announced they ain't getting no money from outside there. They, well, with the exception, I believe, of the Moses West Foundation. But even them, they deserve to be supported by us. You know, so anyway, that's what I'm going to plan to do. I'm going to do the lineup and then read the Inyasa Sim, and then we'll take it from there. African Perspectives, the lineup for Time for an Awakening.
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
For Time for an Awakening. Time for an Awakening. This program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, and all times are going to give our Eastern times. The program on Thursday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. is the Black Liberation Movement, Mississippi on the Move. And so that's Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. Fridays at 8 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturdays from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., the Sankofa Elders Council with Dr. Janine. And then on Sunday at 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. If you want to get those programs, there's a shortcut. Whatever search engine that you use, whatever search engine, put in the search babaoshi.net, babaoshi.net, babaoshi.net. And once again, programs that will be dated and titled. The Inyasa Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inyasa Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. August 18th. The African climate does not allow laziness. If we do not learn at home to exert ourselves physically and mentally, nature will be hard on us. If we do not accept suffering along the way, we will be unreconciled to life. Yaya Diallo. Intellectual laziness has no place on the front line. We need thinkers. We need thinking weapons. We need those who see their minds as critical tools in this war for African sanity and survival. Everything said, done, and considered must be turned over and examined from as many angles as possible through African-centered lens in terms of its benefit or liabilities to us. However, in assessing the amount of time and energy that should be dedicated to each assessment, warriors must always bear in mind historical patterns and the application of common African sense to the need to definitely know all of the intricacies of time-consuming questions. Time is of the essence in here and now, and has with debate and argumentation the time allotted to any assessment by warriors who understand the concept of enemy must fit within frontline constraints. These minds must be able to critically understand and know the mind of Urugu, its open revelations as well as its conscious deceptions, to the point where empirical evidence is not required for every single solitary act which fits their hateful, aberrant, and genocidous social and cultural pattern. Often when dealing with liars, long known for hiding that which reveals their acidic intent from those they invade and murder, who know what to conceal and when to omit it from the historical record or public discourse today, because it will disadvantage them morally and militarily. Just knowing their history is enough for assessment. I say, affirm, I will never, ever, ever, ever give up. I say, I will never, ever, ever give up. August 19th. Confusion means you're getting ready to learn something. Evelyn Duduyemi, Sister Duduyemi and her husband, they live in
Tanzania. They used to live down the street from where I live here in Atlanta in the West End area. In fact, they lived pretty close to Baba Baba Burundi. Yeah, I know, Baba Burundi. Baba Burundi was supposed to be with us today, but he will be again. And I'm reading from the Inyasa Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought, what Baba Burundi gives us each day. And I'm certain I'm around all his books. It's a beautiful man, and I wish him continued good health. Baba Mwalimu Burundi. It is said that when the student is ready, the master will appear. However, the master does not have to be a person or a book written by one. It can simply be life. And for thinkers, it usually is. Regardless of readiness, the commencement of any lesson is found in honest, humble acknowledgments of ignorance. For earnest minds, ignorance brings a confusion which gives us insight into what we do not know but need to learn. For dishonest ones, learning is merely superficial, if that. Confusion, like clarity, is to be sought. Both enhance our thinking abilities. Confusion indicates the unknown, while clarity opens up our minds to grander possibilities in the realm of what is knowable. Confusion creates questions, and questions exercise our thinking muscles no less than the answers. When worthy questions lead to meaningful answers, we experience something positive, a progressive, dialectical, developmental, intellectual investigation. We argue with ourselves in seeking truth. And like difficulty strengthens us for the challenges ahead, the work of gaining answers out of confusion prepares us to develop even more sophisticated questions and revealing answers. Without challenges, we would not grow. Intellectual activity and therefore living would become mundane and ordinary, even mediocre or worthless. Learners have a great disdain for not knowing. I say, learners have a great disdain for not knowing. It brings a discomfort and intellectual anxiety, which drives one to solve whatever questions stand in the way of knowing. For them, confusion is exciting because it signals that they're getting ready to learn something. Ashe, they're getting ready to learn something. Affirm, I ever remain ready to learn my way out of confusion. Affirm, I'm ever ready to learn my way out of confusion. Brothers and sisters, Inya Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Yes, 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 yes. And, you know, I haven't done this in a while, so we're going to do this before we get off into the main discussion of a presentation that was given by PLO Lumumba in Africa about the new, not the new, it ain't no damn new, but the consistently problem of Africa having to deal with colonialism, you know? Yeah. The new scramble for Africa. The new scramble for Africa. Yeah, I hear you, family. I'm against it too, Jack. Of course we are all against it, but I've been saying for many years, who's all up in Africa? Even when I've gone to Africa, I've saw a number of Caucasians, Asians, and Indians, and so forth in Ghana doing, not necessarily doing business, but usurping the business that we have. Yeah. So, yeah, this is, I haven't done this in a while, so I got to find them. So we'll just bear in mind, okay? Okay. There is no other historical instance of a formerly enslaved people who valued integration with their former captors to the point where they completely abandoned the superior wealth of their own homeland. Ezra era home. There is no other historical instance of a formerly enslaved people in the history of the world that people were enslaved by another people, and once they were done, but they valued the integration with that captor to the point they completely abandoned their own superior wealth of their homeland. They'd rather be in Europe. They'd rather be in Central and South America. They'd rather be in the U.S. of Dam A than to be in Africa. And even to this day, at this moment, there are many who deny that they are African. There are American Africans here who deny that they are African. As if what the European did by taking us from Africa and putting us wherever, every place that we have been or they have been and putting us there, that that's who we are. I ain't no African. I'm Brazilian. I ain't no African. I'm Costa Rican. I ain't no African. I'm American. And yet, all of those countries looked to Africa and Africa's resources. All those countries dealt with African human resources. They'll build what they are and the resources to maintain what they have. Europe had no resources, family. Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The only light that was happening in Europe was in the western part of Europe, in Spain and Portugal, with the Moors. Africans who were accepting of Islam, and those brothers and sisters were the light, the intellectual light of Europe, because they were in a medieval or dark age. They came out of that medieval or dark age and they had their so-called renaissance. The renaissance. The waking of man. It wasn't a waking of man. It was European enlightenment. It wasn't. Other humans were awakened all over the planet. Because of European dominance and their arrogance, they make want to make you seem that, oh, it's what's most important is them. But what's even deeper, what they did was they said, okay, we may war amongst ourselves, and they are, because they are a very warlike people, but we're going to come together on everybody who was outside of us. And then when they realized that the people who had melanin in various amounts and various shades and various hair textures and so forth outnumbered them, they said, we got to control this. We got to eliminate some. The only true acts of genocide. No, I know you associate that word with European Jews. Genocide. They didn't experience no goddamn genocide, excuse me. They didn't experience no Holocaust. What they had was some mass murder going on, and I doubt if the numbers are correct, but if they are correct, that's fine. I don't care. 1 or 6 million, whatever. But because it's them and the fact that they control so much, they control narratives, they control media, they control this, that, and that, it makes it seem like that is the most important. thing that happened to a people, and therefore they deserve protection. They deserve to have land taken from one group of people who have been there for 1,000 years and given to them. They deserve the fact that there was an attack on them back in October, and they want to eliminate that problem forever by exterminating, by them putting an act of genocide on a people. Yeah. Yes, sir. So what's my next move? What's my next move? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I try family. I really do. This is what Lord Macaulay's address to the British Parliament on February 2nd of 1835. He said, I have traveled across the length and breadth of Africa, and I have not seen one person who is a beggar, who is a thief. Such wealth I have seen in this country, such high moral values, people of such caliber, that I did not think we would ever conquer this country unless we break the very backbone of this nation, which is her spiritual and cultural heritage. And therefore, I propose that we replace her old and ancient educational system, her culture. For if the Africans think that all that is foreign and English is good and greater than their own, they will lose their self-esteem, their native culture, and they will become what we want them to be, a truly dominated nation. Every time I read that, man, it's hard to read. You know? It's hard to read. It's just like the presentations that I do on ancient Kemet, and I added Great Pyramid K 2019. And of course, if you haven't seen Great Pyramid K 2019, you need to do that. Just go to YouTube, put in Great Pyramid, and I'm quite sure it'll pop up like that. Yes, I know it's over 3.5 hours long. Just take it a bit of the time, but it is so powerful. It is so powerful. You know, but when I do the presentation, I have these two, I don't know if you want to call them icebreakers, but I have these two comedy pieces. One by this cat named Ahmed, who's a Muslim, and he talks about, reverse racism. And of course, I say there is no such thing as reverse racism. And, of course, in his comedy routine, says many of African people don't believe in reverse racism. But I do, and I believe I could be a reverse racism. All I had to do was get into my time machine and go back and colonize Europe, you know. And so he talks about bombing them back into the stone. He talks all the stuff that they did. It's what they did. It's what they did to other cultures in the world. And then, of course, Richard Pryor only had 4 segments of his show back in the late 70s. And I remember them very well on NBC, very well, because I've always loved Richard Pryor. And the one he did on with Robin Williams on Egypt, they break into a temple. You know, they open the door and then they go in and, you know, and they talk about this, that, and the other. And then he looks at the book. The book is called, technically, by the Kemetic people, the Book of Coming Forth by Day, not the Book of the Dead. Europeans called it the Book of the Dead because it was found in a tomb. But it's the Book of Coming Forth by Day. And so he's looking at it and he talks about this. And then he talks about the Africans who did this and that, or the black people. He says, black people in here, ain't nothing about whitey, you know. And so the 3 white dudes, they start backing out, and they close the door, and he says, get the bulldozer. There's nothing here to see. Because one thing that he said clearly was, I'm going to get this information out of here, baby. You know, I'm gonna expose the truth. This is us. And what's deep about that, brothers and sisters, is that the Caucasian is still, after all the things that have been done, still promoting the idea, the lies still. Okay, let's continue on this, what we're doing here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's around here somewhere. Yeah, I've been fortunate, brothers and sisters, to have good information. And this is beautiful. Kwame Nkrumah. And there's great heroes. And I consider some of the greatest of us as some heroes, such as Malcolm, Garvey. Oh, there's so many. Dr. John Henry Clark. You know. Kwame Nkrumah truly is in that mode, along with other Africans. Patrice Lumumba, Thomas Sankara, and the new young men that are doing things. Africa is going to rise. Kwame Nkrumah said this when he was Ghana was the first of the countries to gain. And I even hate to use some of the things that they have said, gain independence from this former colonizer. They broke away from Britain. And he said, I believe strongly and sincerely that with the deep-rooted wisdom and dignity, the innate respect for human lives, the intense humanity that is our heritage, the African culture, united under one federal government, will emerge not just as another world bloc to flaunt its wealth and strength, but as a great power whose greatness is indestructible because it is built not on fear and envy and suspicion, nor won at the expense of others, but founded on the hope, trust, and friendship dedicated to the good of all mankind. The Speech of Freedom, 1961, 4 years after Ghana had became a new nation of independence. And I'm quite sure, a little bit after that, he said this, if we do not approach the problems in Africa with a common front and a common purpose, we shall be haggling and wrangling amongst ourselves until we are colonized again and become the trolls of a far greater colonialism than we had suffered heretofore. Man. Sometimes, dear brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, but I know when I read these things, there's something that innately in me feels so bad about the situation, because I want us to be a people who love Africa and love Africans and begin to do some things to build up the continent and build up the people instead of all these divisions, all these so-called 54 sovereign nations, which is some bullshit. To be truly...
Hey, Oshi.
Oh, hey, Jay, what's happening?
Not much. Is Baruti coming on?
No, Baba Baruti's not going to be on today.
All right, I'll get back to you later. Peace. Later.
To be truly liberated, African people must come to know the nature of European thought and behavior in order to understand the effect that the European has on our ability to think victoriously. We must be able to separate our thoughts from Europeans' thoughts so that to visualize a future that is not dominated by Europe. This is demanded by an African-centered view, because why? Because we're Africans, and because the future to which European leads us, the future which Europe leads us is genocidal. It's genocidal. Mama Marimba Ani. It's genocidal. Yes, it is, family. Wow. So, I want to play this piece by PLO Lumumba. I'm going to play it now since I got about 20 minutes before. And it's about 20-something minute program. And what we'll do is we'll take a break once it's over. But this is PLO Lumumba. And I don't know, some of you have heard the brother speak, you know, and listen to him. He's on point, believe me. He's always on point, you know. And there's a number of brothers out of the continent that are, and these are the brothers we need to look, and sisters, Sister Arcana, Chichambori Kwa. Sister Arcana Chichambori Kwa is outstanding in these issues. I haven't played anything by her in a while, and I'm going to do that. Would love to have her. I was talking to one of my friends who knows her and trying to get that connection, but unfortunately didn't get it. But hey, we can try again. Yeah. So there may be some commercials in it, but we'll see. This is Brother PLO Lumumba.
He's Americans. He's Germans. He's Japanese. He's the French. And the Europeans have done their bit. They also interfere through post-colonial institutions, the Commonwealth of Independent Nations. They are not sovereign states. Former French-speaking nations. These are the instruments that they interfere through. And how do we then deal with this situation? We Africans must now begin to recognize, and this was recognized as early as 1963, and the chair of the commission is here. They'll be celebrating 60 years in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. And 60 years ago, on the 24th day of May, Kwame Nkrumah warned us. He said, if we are not united, they are going to interfere with us militarily. They are going to interfere with our economy. They are going to interfere with our agriculture. They are going to interfere with our health. Our duty, and I hope that when African heads of states and government meet in Addis next week, it will not be another jamboree at which pro forma speeches are read. I hope it will be an occasion to give meaning to Africa Agenda 2063. I hope it will be an occasion to give meaning to Africa Continental Free Trade Area. I hope it will be an occasion to revitalize the Malabo Declaration, the Maputo Declaration, the Yamoussoukro Declaration. In other words, we Africans, as I conclude, we Africans must stop operating in silos. Rwanda alone will not confront them. Burundi alone will not confront them. But if we go through the regional bodies and ultimately the African Union, we may indeed succeed in putting away this bulwark. And remember, it is no longer just Europe. There is a new scramble for Africa. The Chinese are here. The Turks are here. The Qataris are here. All of them are coming back. And the military bases that you see here is telling you that if you don't behave, we are going to use force. Sometimes I wish, and I'm saying this seriously, that we too had a nuclear weapon, because that is what Europe and America understands. The impact of European and American and Russian and Chinese interference is a raw wound. It is not something that is in the past. It is something that is happening as we speak. And therefore, when we speak to it, we are speaking to it to warn ourselves of the reality. When we speak about the Danidas and the NGOs, these are bodies whose raison d'etre is to ensure that we remain in a perpetual state of begging. That is what we are doing, to warn ourselves. And we are not for 1 minute saying that we will shut ourselves out from the rest of the world. What we are saying is that we must define how we engage with the whole world. And we are saying that as individual countries, we are weak, and the rest of the world wants to operate and to deal with us in our weak state. The United States of America dealing with Rwanda on second-hand clothing. Rwanda cannot resist them. Burundi cannot. Kenya cannot. Uganda cannot. But if we are East Africa with a population of 300 million, we can. If we are SADC, we can. If we are ECOWAS, we can. So this is what we are saying. And we are saying further that going forward, we must also recognize our internal weaknesses. And what is our weaknesses? Chinua Achebe said it very well. The problem of Africa is simply and squarely one of political leadership. The rank of many political leaders in Africa are thieves. Let's call them by their name. They are thieves. They are individuals who are not interested in the interest of this country. And as long as we continue electing such individuals into positions of power across Africa, they are going to be manipulated. What then is the responsibility of the citizenry? The responsibility of the citizenry is to make demands. The chairman here, I hope he has received the several letters that I've written to him. I've written several letters to his organization talking about the role of the African Union in peacemaking. I wrote to the chairman only last week about the situation in Sudan, saying we must solve our own problems. And I want to see a crusading African Union so that it's not the Americans and the Saudi Arabians who are summoning them to Jeddah. It should be in Addis Ababa. In a nutshell, Joe, what I'm saying is that we have a responsibility to ourselves, both at the leadership level and at levels of the civic society. We must be engaged in a positive manner, and we must keep on shouting without being diplomatic, because diplomacy is lulling us into a false sense of security. And lastly, I want to say this. When foreign powers come, we must always be reminded of these goodies that they bring to us. It used to be said of the Trojan War, that even when the Greeks bear a gift, they do not mean well. They never mean well. And the sooner we say it, recognizing the external threat, recognizing the domestic weaknesses, the safer we are. Right now, as I conclude, there is a group of experts going around East Africa collecting views about the constitution of East Africa. I've just written to them this morning. They are leaving Kenya. If you ask 10 Kenyans, possibly only one knows they are in Kenya. Then they will be going to Burundi. If you ask your typical African about Africa Agenda 2063 out of 10, if two know about Africa Agenda 2063, you'll be lucky. If you ask them about the Africa Continental Free Trade Area 10, if two know, you'll be lucky. In other words, we are not doing well. And I'm going to be blunt at these functions. If you ask the chair of the African Union, who funds the African Union, possibly 60% of the budget is externally funded. He who pays the piper calls the tune. That is the reality of the world. We must begin to pay for our own things in order to be understood and to be respected. In other words, Africa recognizes the need to define herself and to define her agenda. And I do not begrudge nations that define themselves and their agenda. Ronald Reagan once said it, and I agreed with him, that every nation does what is in her best interest. And I have no problem with that. The problem that we have is that at critical moments in African history, we have failed to seize the moment. You will remember in 1917 at the Champaran campaign, Mahatma Gandhi told Charlie Andrews, I do not want you to participate because at this point in time, the Indians must believe that they can do it themselves. In other words, there comes a time in the history of a nation when even friends of goodwill must be told, keep aside. We want to believe that we can do it, and your help must be surreptitious and subterranean if you are a person of goodwill. And the Champaran philosophy is what we must define for ourselves. In the year 2005, the former Prime Minister of Britain, Tony Blair, put together 17 individuals in what was then called our common interest. The report on the African Commission. The Prime Minister, he was then the President of the European Union, from which Britain has now left, and he was also the President of the G8 at that time before the exclusion of Russia. They produced a report. Right now, when I see the Blair Institute moving around Africa, they are implementing exactly what was in that particular report, and I have a copy of it, not for the benefit of Africa, but for the benefit of the Institute. And what they have done is to sugarcoat it and camouflage it for the purpose of hoodwinking Africa and for the purposes of creating an environment which benefits foreign companies to the detriment of the continent of Africa. So that some of these engagements are anodynal. They simply lull us into a false sense of security. Do I blame them? No. That is why I agree that we must decolonize all learning. I don't know who said it this, that if you have that the happiness of the slave is the comfort of the slave owner. And I'm saying that if Africa does not recognize this, then Africa will never recognize and realize our potential. The saying goes that if you behave like grass, goats will eat you. And many times we in the African continent behave like grass, and we are fit for eating. And that is what I'm saying. Going forward in a strategic engagement such as this, it is incumbent upon the continent of Africa. And remember, I said there is a new scramble, sometimes subtle, sometimes not so subtle. There was 1 month in this continent when the Russian foreign minister was here, the American foreign minister was here, the Chinese foreign minister was here, the French president was here, the Turkish president was here, within a period of 2 weeks. What were they looking for? What is in their best interest? They engaged little countries. They don't want to engage the East African community. They don't want to engage SADC. They don't want to engage ECOWAS, because when they are big, they are not manipulable. And when on the 14th and 15th days of last year, the African heads of states and government were summoned, and I use the word summoned very deliberately, to Washington, D.C., after the president had spoken to them and given them photo ops, Africa was given 60 billion, 54 countries, 60 billion. And then the American president started engaging in bilateral agreements with Burundi, with Lesotho, with Kenya. That is what we are saying, that going forward we must be conscious. And as to training, our own Ngugi wa Thiong'o, in a book called The River Between, tells his lead character, Wayaki, go unto him, learn what he has taught you, but bring it home and customize it for the benefit of our people. Learning is universal and defies geography, but there is wisdom in using that learning for our benefit. And very lastly, how do we distinguish the institutional conceptual West, which is diabolical, and the individual members of those countries that actually sometimes are on our side, institutionalize conceptual West as articulated through government is fundamentally diabolical. Their pretension to the contrary notwithstanding. And therefore, when we engage with them, we must have our guards up. We are capable, in my view, of discerning who is better, and that is the duty of our leadership. Our leadership doesn't do a good job out of it, and that is why the demand from the civil society, the demand from academia, must remind leadership at all times, you are dealing, you are dining, and I'm using this as a term of art, that when you are dining with the devil, you must do so with a long spoon. Thank you.
Thank you, Prof. I don't know if you wanted to respond to the issue of definition earlier on, or indeed any
perhaps
comments that you might have.
Let us not drown ourselves in semantics. This is my view with due respect. First of all, let us remember that, and I always warn us Africans, if I was using my mother tongue to define interference, or using a Kiswahili word, what meaning would it carry? And sometimes we find ourselves prisoners of Portuguese, prisoners of French, prisoners of English or any other colonial language which we have appropriated and which we now deploy in terms of engagement. History has demonstrated, and my good friend Kegoro said it, history has demonstrated not once, not twice, that the intentions appear to be noble in the beginning, but when they have come in like the proverbial Trojan horse, they go beyond their mandate. Show me what is happening to Libya today. Show me what is happening to the Central African Republic. Show me what is happening to Somalia today. They were all well-intentioned and see the product. A tree shall be judged by its fruit. A mango that says it is an orange is still a mango.
Okay.
Now, to the question that I've been asked, that is, what can Africa do, particularly with foreign interference? Let us understand that the international economic architecture, as I see it, is one in which Africa did not participate, does not participate in a meaningful way. Take, for example, the Bretton Woods institution that we know about, the World Bank and the IMF, created in 1944 in Bretton Woods in New Hampshire. British economists and American economists immediately after the World War II to target the reparation of Europe through the Marshall Plan. We are grafted into it, and then we become beholden to them. So that when you hear IMF is in your country, you ought to be very worried, because the prescriptions is one size fits all. And if you doubt me, you will remember the prescriptions of the IMF during the structural adjustment in 1980s. Not a single country came out of it in a proper shape. We are not involved in that architecture. Remember also the WTO. The very first meeting of the United Nations in 1945 in San Francisco had a component of the WTO. The WTO, as we know it today, is also constructed in a manner that does not benefit us. The idea is that Africa continues to remain a producer of primary goods, and we continue to consume goods that have value addition. How then has Africa tried to react to this? There have been several initiatives. The very early initiatives were not even constructed by Africa. If you remember the African Pacific, Caribbean Pacific, the Lomé Convention, and the Cotonou Declaration, these were initiatives which were influenced from outside. It is after the failure of the Lomé Convention that Africa now said, we want to have our own, hence the Lagos Plan of Action of 1980, because Africa recognized trade within Europe is at almost 60%. Trade within North America is at anything 57%. Trade within Asia is at 50%. Trade within Latin America is at 40%. Trade within Africa, 15%. But the Lagos Plan of Action did not realize the dreams that we set for ourselves. So Africa has always identified the solution to our problem. In fact, and the president of the commission, of the chairman commission, will agree with me, if you listen to Kwame Nkrumah when he spoke on 24th day of May 1963, he said, the only way in which we are going to ensure that we survive in this hostile world is to have one government. Perhaps some said he was naive, he was too idealistic, but he could see it. He could see that the smaller we are, the weaker we are in all aspects. He said, even one army, even one foreign policy. He said, and people thought he was naive. In 2013, when we came up with Africa Agenda 2063, and I invite you to read the letter written by Nkosazana and Dlamini Zuma, from whom the president took over. She's apologizing to Kwame Nkrumah. She's saying, we wish we listened to you. So what are we doing as Africa in terms of trying to deal with this foreign interference? Having recognized these, first of all, under the RECs, the East African Community, you remember there was the Committee of Fast-Tracking of the East African Community and East African Confederation. The first president of East Africa ought to have been sworn in 2010. It did not happen. As I'm talking to you, there is now a body that is moving around trying to create a constitution for the East African Confederation, which is a realization that if we want to interfere, if we want to stop foreign interference and we want to engage constructively, we must have a big market. And that market will be the East African market. Hence, Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania, Rwanda, Burundi, South Sudan, and now the Democratic Republic of Congo, and the Somalis are coming in, and I'm told the Ethiopians are also contemplating. And not only in East Africa, in ECOWAS, there was even an attempt to create a currency called the ECO, which was torpedoed, as you know, by the French. And in SADC, these are ways and means of immunizing ourselves against the machinations of not only Europe, but China. China is increasingly coming into the continent. Russia is increasingly coming into the continent. Turkey is increasingly coming into the continent. Qatar is increasingly coming into the continent. The Emiratis are coming into the continent. So we are seeing all these things happening. But beyond the RECs, there is also the African Union. If you read Africa Agenda 2063 and the seven aspirations, they are designed specifically to ensure that we form a bulwark against these foreign interference. And let me correct myself if I was misunderstood. They are small nations. Let's delude ourselves. The theory of sovereignty of nations is a fiction. Right now, we'll have meeting of the G7. Why? Because they are bigger economies and we are not there. Then we'll have the G20, which are slightly bigger. Then they are the smaller nations and they met recently in Brussels. So we must distinguish the fiction of equality of nations and the reality of nations. And when, therefore, we want to negotiate at the continent of Africa, we are saying the bigger we are, the better we are. So efforts are there. And as I conclude, I'm saying, if we look at Agenda 2063 and we look at Africa Continental Free Trade Area to eliminate tariff and non-tariff barriers, to allow for the free movement of persons, then we would be in a better position to engage. And I'll give this example. Look at East Africa. We said that we did not want second-hand clothing. Rwanda accepted. Then Uganda and Tanzania were persuaded by the United States of America, and we dropped out. This is what divide and rule is all about. So these things that we are talking about, they are not going to be realized in your lifetime. These are intergenerational battles. And our duty, as Nyerere said on the 6th day of March 1997, this generation has a duty to carry the torch. And the worst mistake that we can make is to lose hope and to despair. Thank you.
Thank you.
PLO, Lumumba. And his brother's on point. And you know it and I know it. I've heard many presentations by PLO Lumumba. He speaks in that same voice that Kwame Nkrumah, Thomas Sankara, all of them clearly understood that the unification of Africa is paramount. It has to happen. We have to have leadership. It wasn't just Patrice Lumumba taking over the Congo, but he was also a Pan-Africanist. It wasn't just other brothers or sisters taking over and just for their country. Many of them were Pan-Africanists. They understood that to stabilize their country and then to go in with other countries, strengthen them, gave them access to more minerals, access to more of things that they could use to build up that country and to develop into a One Africa solution. One Africa. That's the desire. That's the movement. Listen to those brothers and sisters. Sister Chichemboni Arcana Chichemboni Kwa. There are many, many voices. But of course, the ones that are promoted more is for the benefit of the West. It's for the benefit of the United States, the benefit of Europe, the benefit of countries that are in control. I tell you, this is going to be a battle, family. It's going to be a battle. You know, I know what my time here is not that long, maybe. I don't know. But my hope and prayer has been and will continue to be, I love to see the movement in that direction. Love to see that I know that we're moving in a direction of African sovereignty, African liberation, self-determination, that we're moving in that direction. That even brothers and sisters who are here in the United States and who have chosen to remain here, they have an allegiance to Africa, even though they chose to stay here. They claim dual citizenship. They claim citizenship not of a country, but of the continent. It's a matter of time. It's a matter of time. We're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we're going to open the phone lines up. And hopefully you'll give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Broken glass everywhere. People on the stage, you know they just don't care. I can't take the smell, can't take the noise. Got no money to move out, I guess I got no choice. Rats in the front room, roaches in the back. Junkies in the alley with the baseball bat. I tried to get away, but I couldn't get far. Cause a man with a tow truck repossessed my car. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Standing on the front stoop, hanging out the window, watching all the cars go by, roaring as the breezes blow. A crazy lady living in a bag, eating out of garbage pails, used to be a fag hag. Such a that's the tangle, skipped the life and dangle. A zircon princess seemed to lost her senses. Down at the peep show, watching all the creeps, so she could tell her stories to the girls back home. She went to the city and got so did it. She had to get a pimp, she couldn't make it on her own. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. My brother's doing bad, stole my mother's TV. Says she watches too much, it's just not healthy. All my children in the daytime, Dallas at night. Can't even see the game or the Sugar Ray fight. The bill collectors, they ring my phone and scare my wife when I'm not home. Got a bum education, double-digit inflation. Can't take the train to the job, there's a strike at the station. Me on King Kong, standing on my back, can't stop and turn around. Broke my sacroiliac, a mid-range migraine, cancer membrane. Sometimes I think I'm going insane, I swear I might hijack a plane. Don't push me, calm, I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. My son said, Daddy, I don't want to go to school because the teacher's a jerk. He must think I'm a fool. And all the kids smoke reefer. I think it'd be cheaper if I just got a job, learn to be a street sweeper. I dance to the beat, shuffle my feet, wear a shirt and tie, and run with the creeps. Because it's all about money. Ain't a damn thing funny. You got to have a con in this land of milk and honey. They pushed that girl in front of the train, took her to the doctor, sewed her arm on again. Stabbed that man right in his heart. Gave him a transplant for a brand new start. I can't walk through the park cause it's crazy after dark. Keep my hand on my gun cause they got me on the run. I feel like an outlaw, broke my last glass jaw. Hear them say, you want some more? Living on a seesaw. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. Say what? It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. A child is born with no state of mind, blind to the ways of mankind. God is smiling on you, but he's frowning too, because only God knows what you'll go through. You'll grow in the ghetto, living second rate, and your eyes will sing a song, because deep hate, the places you play and where you stay, looks like one great big alleyway. You'll admire all the number book takers, thugs, pimps, and pushers, and the big money makers, driving big cars, spending 20s and 10s, and you want to grow up to be just like them. Smugglers, scramblers, burglars, gamblers, pickpocket peddlers, even panhandlers. You say, I'm cool, I'm no fool, but then you wind up dropping out of high school. Now you're unemployed, all non-void, walking around like your pretty boy Floyd. Turned stick-up kid, but look what you done did. Got sent up for an 8-year bid. Now your manhood is took and you're a Maytag. Spend the next 2 years as an undercover fag, being used and abused to serve like hell, till one day you was found hung dead in a cell. It was plain to see that your life was lost. You was cold and your body swung back and forth. But now your eyes sing the sad, sad song of how you live so fast and die so young. So don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
Yo, Mel, you see that girl, man?
Yeah, man.
Yo, that sound like Cowboy, man. Yo, what's up, money?
Yo.
Hey, where's Creole and Raheem at?
They upstairs cooling out.
So what's up for tonight, y'all?
Yo, we can go down to the field, man.
Check out.
my June bug, man.
Hey, yo, you know that girl Betty?
Yeah, man.
My mom's got balls, man.
Not what?
Again, she got hurt bad.
What is happening? What is
free. Don't nobody move nothing. Y'all know what this is. Get them up.
What?
Get them up.
Yo, man, we down with Grandmaster Flash and the Fury
that's
five, man.
What is that, a gang?
No.
Shut up. I don't hear your mouth.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com. Battle
Ocean. That will be able to self-determine and compete against other races. A man called Kwame Nkrumah came and said the same message. And another by the name of Malcolm X said the same. But the question is, after almost a century since the rise of Marcus Garvey, has Africa achieved unity? Do we control our resources? Do we unite in our aspirations, dreams? And have we elevated Africa into a continent and a race that can compete and self-determine against other races? The truth of the matter is we have failed. We have failed because we have remained divided. We've continued to work as 54 different states that continue to be subjugated. This is why the French continue to have 14 colonies on the African continent. It is why 36 African countries have got American bases and AFRICOM on their soil. It is why many African countries continue to sell their resources, their institutions, for debt to countries like China. And the question that I'm now challenging you, the woke generation, with is what are we going to do about it? The reason we've got wars on the African continent is because we're being divided for conquest. The reason we've got sanctions on the African continent is that all the independent knowledge and education, the power to take control of our resources, can be destroyed so that Africa can continue to be colonized by our Western colonizers. This is why now we need to rise. Remember that you, the African American, with all your paper money, the greatest wealth among all black nations, only have paper money, but the true wealth is in Africa. The true wealth is the reason why Africa is under sanctions and war, the one that Europeans want to keep for themselves. You need to bring your paper money, your skill, your knowledge, your frustration back to Africa to invest it in the control of real wealth and real resources in the form of the oil, the diamonds, chrome, lithium, cassiterite, and all the other resources that the Western worlds are fighting to control in Africa. Your paper money can be leveraged into machines, skills, technology, and the knowledge that Africa needs in order to move and prosper. You, the Caribbean, with your skill, power, determination, you, the Jamaican, the first people to resist European colonialism. You, the Haitian, the very first black peoples to defeat a European army. You are the answer to Africa's problems. you, the European African, with all that you've learned and earned, the basketball player, the soccer player, the sportsman, the singer, the musician, the actor, with all your billions of dollars, are the investment that Africa needs to stop its dependency on the colonizer. It's about time that we rose. And I'm saying that Marcus Garvey's dream can be fulfilled, because when he dreamt it, not a single country, not a single African country was independent. When he dreamt it, not many black billionaires existed, if any. But today we've got black billionaires. Today the richest man in Africa is a black man. We have what it takes and the capacity that it takes to grow our continent into being a continent that can be respected, can self-determine, control its resources, control the processing of those resources, and create currencies based on those resources to be the leading economy in the world. With that, we can industrialize, grow up the technology curve, and begin to create the machinery, the tools to defend the sovereignty of this continent. And now I say it's time that we unite. We have countries like Zimbabwe under U.S. war sanctions to make it unattractive for any African to come, because Europeans are preserving it for themselves. But I'm inviting you, my African-American brother, you Africans in the diaspora, you Africans on the continent, to say, come and take advantage of the greatest reserves of lithium, chrome, gold, true wealth, land, an opportunity to develop infrastructure for us to create wealth as a people, for yourselves, for the advancement of Africa. The time to awake is now, but awakening takes action, pride, investment, development, innovation, to give our people power. This is the time.
Ashe. Apologize about that. Thank you, Brother Herb. Africa, our time is now. Our time is now to awaken and to do all that is necessary for us to bring Africa into the 21st century as a free and prosperous continent, not country, not no individual country. I'm talking about the continent. I'm talking about the salvation for all of African people. Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, The Message, probably the baddest rap in the history of rap. No kidding, that's the baddest it is, as far as I'm concerned. If you think it's not, that's your opinion, I guess. Yeah. So we're going to turn it over to our callers. 215-490-9832.
215-490-9832.
Irv, good afternoon.
My voice, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Appreciate you.
And no, I appreciate you, Baboshi. No, I've heard that what you played the day before. But before I comment on that, I just wanted to say that the Grandmaster Flash, the rap that they were singing, was a conscious rap.
Yeah.
A rap. It was a positive rap, and it was actually a revolution. It was a revolutionary rap. And yes, what happens when there's a revolution, that has to be stomped out, extinguished at all costs. Mm-hmm. I don't care what we have to do. We can't have American Africans talking about liberation or talking about us going against the status quo of what we're doing, of what our Caucasians are doing in this country. Mm-hmm. Because if mm-hmm. they do, then others will join in. And remember, the Civil Rights Movement wasn't a bunch of old people. It was a bunch of children.
Yeah.
Martin Luther King used the children, because the children are the most impressionable. They have the energy, and young people are for war. mm-hmm. older elders are for counsel.
Right.
And that's what he did, and he was successful. And then the plan was to stifle it, only let it go for so far, because you can't give a people absolutely nothing or they will rebel forever. You give them a little something, mm-hmm. and they will calm themselves down and be thankful for that, the crumbs that fall off the table. And I believe that's where most of sure. American Africans are now.
Sure.
But Africa, if Africa's so bad, why don't the Yoruba want to leave? If it's so bad, if they're so poor, if they can't take care of themselves, why are you over there? Mm-hmm. Are you trying to help them, to fix them? Are you trying to build? Because we don't need wheat. We can grow our own food. We need factories. We need a rail system. We need electricity that stays on all the time, the way it stays on in the Eiffel Tower all the time.
Mm-hmm.
If you're coming for my brother, then you're coming for me. If they come for you in the morning, they're going to come for me at night.
That's right.
If you don't want to hear that the truth is hate speech, then you hate the truth. These things have to be thought about, and these things have to be not just said, but lived. African people are one people, and that is what we have in common. Mm-hmm. We're African. And that's the first thing you saw in your so-called movie Roots. They cut his foot off to cut Africa out. That was the first thing in the movie. Damn near the first one that came on, the series, you saw him cutting Africa out of this brother because he can't speak his language. He can't have his African thinking.
Mm-hmm.
He cannot have his name. And he made even the color of your skin something that you didn't like.
Right.
Oh, man, look at your black self. Look at your big black baby looking, big African butt. You made Africa a bad thing.
Yeah.
And now, because by the time, see, Baba Oshi, it's like alcohol. By the time you realize that alcohol is not good for you, you're already addicted to it.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, and your body cannot digest it. In other words, when you're older, but you're addicted. So, you know, and your definition of fun is to have a drink. Man, ain't nothing wrong with a little drink.
Sure.
It ain't nothing wrong with a little drink.
Sure.
But there's something wrong with a little drink every day for 50 years. You know what I'm saying? It builds up. It slowly takes you down. So the point I'm making is by the time you realize that Africa is under assault, you're addicted to white, and you know what that means.
Go ahead, Herb. I love when you do it, brother. Addicted to white.
Stay with me, brother. That is that alliance we're talking about. Come on now.
That's right.
So my point is the sooner, and that's why this show is so important. Because we learn through repetition, we consistently. Some people may say, y'all say the same thing every time y'all have this show. I wouldn't say it if people heard me. The difference between listening and hearing. You know, you can hear a fire engine go down the street.
Sure.
But do you actually listen to it? I'm going to go out and listen to the fire engine today.
No.
But what you need to listen to this show. Because when you hear African perspectives, you not only do you hear it, you live it. Not only do you live it, you repeat it. And by repeating it, it becomes a part of you.
Mm-hmm.
And Africa's in you, whether you're in Africa or not.
That's right.
And you can, I mean, let's be clear. Everyone wants to have a good life, but is a good life necessarily an easy life? Because we work smarter, not harder. We work smarter. So be smart and know that you have, my dad used to say something, I'm going to stop after this and I'm going to go. My dad used to say, you have to do what you have to do until you can do what you want to do.
Mm,
if you watch the Korean, the Korean will come over here and he'll work for a black man. But then you look up and the Korean got his own store.
That's right.
Huh? But black people, no, not black people, American Africans tend to buy into this BS. I work for this white company and they'll give me something in 40, 50 years and I'll be happy. When did you ever think to start your own company? Why don't we teach that to our children? I don't need Donald Trump or Kamala to give me a job. We're going to give you more jobs. I don't want a job. I want a business. So when are you going to start handing out businesses since you're giving jobs? But we or give me a job that will turn into a business. But don't tell me you want to give me a job because then I'm a worker. It's like when you go to school, Baba Oshi, and you go from in high school, you went from the bell would ring and you stop learning English and you start learning science. Mm-hmm. And then the bell would ring and you go to lunch. Then the bell would ring and you go to math. Mm-hmm. That's they're teaching you to be a worker.
Yeah.
The bell rings and it's lunchtime. And the bell rings, we go back to work. They're teaching you to be, then they put you in a project that looks similar to a tier in a jail. You know, I looked down underneath and saw so-and-so. That's how they live in jail.
Mm-hmm.
So the point is, and you may think this is a stretch, but what it is, it subconsciously gets your children ready for the prison cell that they're going to put them in. It subconsciously gets your children ready for the worker bee that they're going to become. It never tells the majority, it tells a few of you, the ones we like, oh, we're going to promote you. You're one of the good ones. But you don't say that to the white boy. Mm-hmm. All the white boys are good. So no, we have to have an African mindset and an African perspective. Oh, we should make that a show.
that sounds like a good kind of donut.
Yeah. And we can move forward. And really quickly, this is the last little tidbit I want to tell you. I just saw this on the right media that Phil Donahue died yesterday at 88 years old.
Oh, didn't see that.
I didn't know he was on the air for 30 years, three decades. He had that show. And Phil Donahue was one of these white people who understood his privilege. He knew he was white. He knew he had privilege, and he wasn't giving it up. And he monetized it. So he didn't have a problem with having the controversial things on the television.
Not at all.
He already knew that this is going to make him some money.
Yep.
And if I can make money off of you American Africans, then that's what we're going to have plans on here. We're going to have Revolution. We're going to Louis Farrakhan came on. He still had his show.
Yeah.
But yet Arsenio brought Louis Farrakhan on. No. You know, he's gone.
Exactly.
So, you know.
No,
regardless of what.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's true. It's a true talk. So, but the point is, he knew he was white. He knew what white could do. And he exploited it. Not to say he was in love with you. I'm not looking for white people to be in love with me. I'm being white. I'm looking for white people to do right by me.
Mm.
What I mean by that, I respect you. You respect me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You can't say no. You don't ain't no black person. Because one lady came on. America's not ready for a black woman president. Who voted you in to say? Come on now. They're so arrogant. They're so arrogant to speak for you. You know, we're not ready. We ain't ready for no black Obama. We ain't ready. Who's we and who voted you in? I'm just saying, when did I tell you? Just like Brother Oshie, I'm getting excited now. But the point is, Arugu still believes that we are second class.
Permanent. That's why I'm saying. Irv, we have got to begin to think outside of the imposed boundaries that Europeans have placed us in, where we have a comfort within their situation. It's just a comfort. It's not success. It's not advancement.
No. No.
It's just a comfort. No. And so many of us are satisfied with that. You know,
mm-hmm.
at least I ain't part of the 2 million people who are imprisoned, whose freedoms have been taken. Although my freedom is marginal because I'm within the framework of their reality, you know. So
that's
yeah.
the power.
Yeah.
Their reality, the power.
That's right.
Because Amul Jamal's in jail. H-Rap Brown's in jail. No one's marching up and down the street for that.
Yeah.
But you see on TV that the Palestinians are being bombed into extinction. You get up out your house and you march down the street with your white friends.
Yeah.
See, so my point is, we could if you want to march, damn it, we could march every day.
Every
we
day.
We don't need a Palestinian
exactly.
war.
Exactly.
We got
issues.
We could march every day. We got things. Come on, Baba.
That's right.
The school to prison pipeline. Mm-hmm. The dumbing down of the students. You didn't mm-hmm. take the book. Nobody came on TV and said, you know what? George Washington didn't chop down a cherry tree. And Abraham Lincoln did not free you. Nobody's saying that. They didn't change the books. They know it's a lie. You know that's a lie. It can't be proved. You cannot, if you can't prove it, it's a belief. And if you keep saying it, it's a lie. And they're perpetuating a lie to the people, and they keep them enslaved through their organized religion. And every Sunday they go in, they fall down, and they get into it, do whatever they do. And that's because you control the people, you must control their mind.
That's right.
And once you have their mind, you don't have to build any more jail. Mm-hmm. Look at these American advocates running around here with signs and, we got to get, we got to get Carmela in. Because Trump gonna put us in slavery. You already in slavery, brother. You're already conditioned. Yeah. Your conditioning is conditioned.
Yeah.
So stop it. You don't even love yourself. She's sitting here with a perm in her head, and you brother sitting here with these European clothes on, and you're saying, we free. Free to what? Free to what? To watch them destroy Africa. You don't see Africa on TV. You'll see every other country, but they won't show you Africa unless they begging or fighting. You never see a beautiful building or a beautiful neighborhood or people living and having a good life. There's no good lives in Africa. Mm-hmm. Is that true, Brother Ocean?
No, go ahead.
Yeah, so there's never, ever anything good about Africa. No visual that's good. It's all bad. Mm-hmm. So that's wrong. It's not true. Africa is not all bad.
No,
Africa is the breadbasket of the world. I'm going to leave it at that, Brother Ocean. Thank you, my brother.
All right, Brother Irv.
I say.
Good afternoon, my brother. How you doing, Brother Lusk?
Good afternoon. And Brother Irv has said a mouthful. And to complete that, if you would be so kind, Baba Oshie, first of all, good day to you. You sound good and strong.
Thank you, my brother.
Could you repeat for me the affirmation from today's Kenya Stasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought? It was regarding I need to learn my way out of a situation of some sort. Could you repeat that affirmation?
We got time, and I definitely do it for you, man. You're one of the
thank you so very much, because all
listeners
of what Brother Irv has said, this that's the solution, what you read earlier, to mm-hmm. what he had been said earlier. This is the solution. We mm-hmm. need to learn our way out of things.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could find that affirmation, sir, please.
It's dated August. I'm going to read both of them that I did. I think I got time because they were both pointed and they both compliment each other. And so, brothers and sisters, please listen. And then once again, the phone lines are open at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. August 18th. The African climate does not allow laziness. If we do not learn at home to exert ourselves physically, mentally, and mentally, nature will be hard on us. If we do not accept suffering along the way, we will be unreconciled to life. Yaya Diallo. Intellectual laziness has no place on the front line. We need thinkers. We need thinking weapons. We need those who see their minds as critical tools in this war for African sanity and survival. Everything said, done, and considered must be turned over and examined from as many angles possible through African-centered lens in terms of its benefit or liability to us as Africans. However, in assessing the amount of time and energy that should be dedicated to each assessment, warriors must always bear in mind historical patterns and the application of common African sense to the need to definitively know all of the intricacies of time-consuming questions. Time is of the essence in here and now, and as we debate in argumentation, the time allocated to any assessment by warriors who understand the concept of enemy must fit within frontline constraints. Those minds must be able to critically understand and know the mind of Yorugu, its open revelations as well as a conscious deceptions, to the point where empirical evidence is not required for every single solitary act which fits their hateful, aberrant, and genocidous social and cultural pattern. Often when dealing with liars, long known for their hiding that which reveals their celic intent, from those they invade and murder. For those who they invade and murder, who know what to conceal and when to omit it from the historical record of public discourse. Today, because it will disadvantage them morally and militarily. Just knowing their history is enough for the assessment. Affirm, I will never, never, ever give up. August 19th. Confusion means you're getting ready to learn something. And that is my sister, Evelyn Dudiyemi, who lives, as I said earlier, who now lives with her husband and her daughters in Tanzania. It is said that when the student is ready, the master will appear. However, the master does not have to be a person or a book written by one. It can simply be life. And for thinkers, it usually is. Regardless of readiness, the commencement of any lesson is found in honest, humble acknowledgement of ignorance. For earnest minds, ignorance brings a confusion which gives us insight into what we do not know but need to learn. For dishonest ones, learning is merely superficial, if that. Confusion, like clarity, is to be sought. Both enhance our thinking abilities. Confusion indicates the unknown, while clarity opens up our minds to grander possibilities in the realm of what is knowable. Confusion creates a question, and questions exercise our thinking muscle no less than the answers. When worthy questions lead to the meaningful answers, we experience sometimes positive, a progressive, dialectical, developmental, and intellectual investigation. We argue with ourselves in seeking truth, and like difficulty, strengthens us for the challenges ahead. The work of gaining answers out of confusion prepares us to develop even more sophisticated questions and revealing answers. Without challenges, we would not grow. I repeat, without challenges, we will not grow. Intellectual activity and therefore living would become mundane and ordinary, even mediocre or worthless. Learners have a great disdain for not knowing. Learners have a great disdain for not knowing. It brings discomfort and intellectual anxiety, which drives one to solve whatever questions stand in the way of knowing. For them, confusion is exciting because it signals that they are getting ready to learn something. Ashe. Affirm, I'm ever ready to learn my way out of confusion. I'm ever ready to learn my way out of confusion. The Inyasa Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. That's definitely for you, dear brother.
Asante Sana. Asante Sana. Oh, man, thank you so very much, because that affirmation,
yes,
for me, is empowering. What you read for these last couple of days has been so empowering. So asante sana to you. I'm always still listening and learning. And brother Amani Nangufu, peace and power. Until next time, thank you so very much.
Thank you, brother Ted Lusk. I've been one of my, for many years now, brother Lusk. Many years now. Appreciate you, brother. Peace to you.
Same here.
All right. Brother Paul, how you doing?
Baba Ochi, man, how are you?
I'm doing well, my friend.
Well, you know, as long as I can hear your voice and I know you're doing well, I'm doing well. So there it is.
I say.
Baba Ochi, the last time I spoke on your platform, I came off, I got a verbal hiding. You know, I have a friend, well, she's a bit of a work colleague and a friend. And she studied economics, and me and her are always debating things. And you know, because she studies economics, she seems to think that, you know, I always tell her to ring in, but for some reason, I don't know, she's listening. She just doesn't ring in.
Oh, she does listen, huh? She does listen.
There's a lot of people I've given this number
I appreciate
to.
That.
My thing is, why don't you ring in? You know what I mean? You give your view. You don't expect my view. You give your view. But, you know, for some strange reason, I think we're kind of a bit intimidated of each other. I don't know why, what it is with people. But, hey, but what it is, she sent me a piece of information, and it was entitled How the Fed Broke the Bank of Japan. And I watched it.
Oh.
I watched what commentator was saying.
Okay.
And I came to the conclusion, and I found the evidence that the Bank of Japan is broken. So that's what I was saying to you. But when,
right,
when
last
I came
week,
off the,
yes.
He's telling me, oh, I gave out misleading information. But look, this is how I see it, Baba Ochi, yeah? And I'm going to stand on this standpoint. What I've realized in this life is there, what I've realized is this, you've heard me say it many times, this language is not our language. Yeah?
Right, exactly.
Right, and what I mean by that, I have to make it clear, because I don't think even the people here who were born here, they don't understand what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. You know, the reason why it's not our language, if you look into our history, what's happened to us, then you'll understand why it's not our language. In order to control our minds, they had to do what they did, is that is rob our language. If you look around the world, right, how many groups have you seen, even if they've been so-called in these English people's language, colonized and whatever, they still can speak their language.
Right, yeah? Right.
And the question you've got to ask yourself is, how have we...
Brother Paul? Brother Paul, you're still there.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
About that.
Say, go ahead.
The conclusion I came to, Baba Ochi, is that there is a, it's almost like a psychological thing going on. It's deeper than this word they use, colonization. They're working not just on us socially, they work almost spiritually. Yeah. And this is one of the reasons we find ourselves in the position we are in. Because they say things to us, they give us words, which we then regurgitate those words. We then bring power of those words into our reality. But because we are born speaking this language, we don't even know it's not our language. We don't even know or that it's the captor's language. We've actually accepted it as our own. Mm-hmm. So to me, in my mind, we have been captured in the mind.
Yes.
And this is why,
yes,
when we keep people asking, well, how come we're in this state? How are this and that and that? Because they have captured us in our mind. Even our thought process, they say themselves, if you dream, whatever language you dream in is your mother's tongue. Well, if this is our mother's tongue, this is a funny mother, because it ain't our mother. You understand?
That's right. But we
you
do.
Get where I'm coming
but
from.
We do dream in English.
But we do.
We do.
We do. See what I'm saying? You see what they've done to us. They've done it so well that we no longer even recognize that. We no longer even recognize that. So that means, you know, they say, you put a set, you put a word together, you construct a word, they call it spelling. Is it a coincidence, which I don't accept there's any such thing as a coincidence, that they call it spelling? What is a spell?
A spell.
It's something they put you into.
Yes, I put a spell
it's
on
it's something
you.
They put you into. Yeah, it's a talisman. It's a so look, the reality of what I'm trying to get to, the point I'm trying to make is that they say things, they use terms like economics, they use terms, monetary terms like consumerism or currency. But when you break down these words and look behind them, you see the spell, what they put you under. And it's, look, you know, in England, let me give you another idea what I'm trying to say. Look at this. British, okay? British, Jewish, Irish. If you look at this word ish, there's no other people on the planet with that ish. What does that ish mean? Jewish, Irish, British, Scottish. If you look at that, you will not find no this ish. But no one said to themselves, well, what is this ish? Who is controlling this ish? Yeah, what does it really mean? I have my thoughts. I haven't got time to go into that, but it's not there by coincidence. You understand? And if you tell me any other people you can find with this ish, then tell me who they are. Well, you get where I'm coming from,
yeah,
Bob?
Well, you know, they have a television program, a sitcom, Black-ish. You know?
Black-ish.
Black-ish.
Black-ish. Okay. Mm-hmm. Look, the point I'm trying to make is this is not our language, so they are using this language to encapture our mind. So when they are saying things to us in this language, which is not our own, you have to read between the lines. You understand? So, you know, if they're telling you, she sends me a video, and it's this American speaking about how the Federal Reserve broke the Bank of Japan. And if you listen to him carefully, right, it clearly suggests to me that that is their intention. That is their intention. Okay, it's not the Federal Reserve broke the bank. That is their plan. Mm-hmm. You understand? Mm-hmm. The Bible, for instance, Baba Ochi, the Bible came from England. Okay,
mm-hmm.
It came from England. King James
version.
Bible, mm-hmm. Right? And if you go and study the history, right, you see why they call it the King James Bible. Apparently, I read somewhere over 200 versions of the Bible came to America in the beginning, you know. And it, after much debate and much argument, they settled on the King James version. I read somewhere. The point I'm trying to make is, what, do you think it's a coincidence that it came as that to America in the form of an English book? Can you see where I'm going, Mama? Mm-hmm.
Oh, no doubt.
And
no doubt, yes.
Yeah. So the point I'm trying to make is, if one doesn't understand what's being done to them in the mind, right, what plan can they really have? What solution can they really have? Really, really. I mean, honestly, because you have to really look at, you know, what you talk about the mind. But if your mind has been captured, mm-hmm. I mean, really, what is coming out your mouth? If you don't understand that your mind's been captured, you don't understand. All you're really doing is working for those who captured your mind. And, you know, when I look at it, I said it before on your program, 95% of us, that's what we're doing. We are actually working as fifth columnists to uphold their structure. We're actually doing that. We're even doing that without even knowing we're doing that. So what is the answer then? The answer is this. I ain't saying that you must rush out and go and put all your time into somebody else's or find another language. What I'm suggesting is, first is the acknowledgement, acknowledging it. You see, in that acknowledging it, if you break it down, it means to be in the act of knowing. Mm-hmm. You see, when you get in that vibration, in the act of knowing, things start to move to your direction. You understand? Because this is not your language, right?
Right.
So then you may go out and find that you make an effort to speak another language, an African. You may just do that. Or you may start associating with people who can help you get to another level. Mm-hmm. You may never actually fluently speak an African language, but even your communication will start to change. The way you see yourself start to change. You understand what I'm saying? Does that make sense, Baba Ochi?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm saying, you know, because some people might think, well, I'm too old to learn another language and all this stuff, yeah? But even if you acknowledge, meaning that if you're in the act of knowing that this is not your language, this is your capturer's language, that acknowledgement will start to attract like-minded people.
Exactly.
And they're the ones they start to help you to reach that other level. And then what starts to happen is you start to see things differently. The way you dream is differently. Mm-hmm. Your understanding of your role on this planet then changes. Mm-hmm. You see, what they've done to us, they've captured us and they've made us feel that this is our own language.
That's right.
And in that language, we are casting spells on ourselves. We are actually sometimes entrapping ourselves. So last thing I want to say to you, Baba Ochi, so when you look at some of these things, what they're creating, yeah, which I'm the more I think about it, the more I'm suggesting it, are just distractions. This morning, I don't usually do this, but I want to do this. I had to say this. I spoke to, on the Carl Nelson show, and I spoke to a professor. He's been on your platform. I really like the brother. He's brilliant, yeah? And I suggested to him that after thinking, looking at Kamala Harris, I asked him the question, which out of Trump and Kamala Harris, what is more safe for the world? And he said Kamala, he thinks it's Trump, right? But then
he thinks that Trump is more safer for the world?
No, he don't think that. Put the question to him,
uh-huh.
And he confirmed that Trump is more safer for the world, right? than Kamala Harris. Because what I suggested to him is that with this government you've got in America under Biden, he gonna take us into World War III with Putin, and Trump doesn't want to go to war. That's what. Him.
Well, if you just look at that standpoint, agreed. I understand that. I would agree with that. If you just looked at that, right. You know, because Biden and Putin have been adversarial.
Baba Ochi, this is a fact. If you go on the world, this guy Putin, right? He ain't playing. Okay, I'm gonna have to be real here. He's not playing. I think in America they think he's playing. He ain't playing. Let me tell you, he's not playing. He will, the first country they will strike if they decide to go to a nuclear hot war is London. That's the first place they'll strike. Okay? London. Okay? That's a reality. You can go on any website. London is the first place they will strike. Not New York, not America, London. Okay? Now, Biden, with the CIA, they blew up the North Stream pipe. They blew it up. We know that. Okay, that cut off the gas to Germany. We're all paying higher costs in our bills because of that event. Biden done that. Okay, that's a reality. That's not make believe or hocus pocus. They did that.
Go ahead, Paul.
They're pushing this guy to the limit, Baba Ochi. They're pushing this guy, yeah. So the point I'm trying to make is this Kamala Harris, sorry. The way I'm seeing it is that she's just going to take orders, just like
they all do. Like they all do. The president of the United States,
this idea,
the figurehead,
the African American. Yeah, this idea that African Americans think she's going to come and be their savior, to me, is absolute crazy. Ludicrous, out of beyond ludicrous.
Yeah, let me say this about that, because I think that is diminished based on what happened with two terms of Barack Obama. That didn't happen. So we sure in the hell know it ain't going to be happening with her. Okay?
Baba Ochi, that is my point. To me, she's just Barack. In actual fact, you know what I'd go as far as to say? She's worse than Barack Obama. Do you know why I think she's going to be worse than Barack Obama? Because when I first heard her get when I first heard her come on the scene, I heard on your platforms and different platforms in America, African Americans screaming that this woman was looking up more than ever in where she's from, wherever she's from. Yeah, that was the first thing I heard about her, and that was on the platforms I was listening to. She's locked up because she's a prosecutor. She's locked up more black men or sent more black men to jail or whatever. This is the first thing I heard. Now the bottom line is, we didn't hear that about Obama, and I don't think that's true about Obama. We hear that about her, okay? Mm-hmm. And the reality of it is, yeah, I know people look at, oh, this black woman, oh, she's going to be the first woman and all this nonsense, yeah? But to me, she's going to be worse than Obama, worse, because she has a record of these doing these things, yeah? She's married to a Jewish man, and he must be a Zionist. It's not the fact that he's Jewish. Right. It's the fact that he's got to be a Zionist. So that means he's serving the ideology. So is Biden. So is Trump. They're all intertwined with these people. So it's going to make no difference. They're just going to serve.
Have that goes. Have that is related. That goes. That makes no difference. Because the bottom line is, whether the Democrat or Republican, you bow down to Israel. You bow down to Zionism. Yep.
Right. They're all going to do it. She's going to do the same thing. But she's not going to put not one African American first. She's going to put Israel first. That's what's going to happen, okay? Mm-hmm. And anyone who wants to put money on it, I'll put money on it. She's going to put them first. And then, you know what put first? The LGBTQ mafia, just like Obama. That's what she's going to do first. She's going to be in Africa selling off that LGBTQ mafia nonsense. That's what she's going to be doing. She ain't going to be looking at no African-American. The only African-American she's going to be looking at is those who have signed up to the little privileges, which then she's going to be passing out to them. That's the only ones. But the ordinary one, she ain't going to be looking for you at all. Okay? So the reality is, you know what I'm saying? Reality is, you got to do for self. We got to do for self.
Thank you.
Let
me catch Irv. Let me catch Irv with this last minute we have. Go ahead, Irv.
Brother Paul,
he's on a roll.
Some great points. Yeah, he's on a roll.
He's on the roll. So, Brother Paul, I got 1 minute, man. Okay? Go ahead and finish it up.
No. I know. I'm not talking to you and Brother Irv and others who phoned this way. Just point out an ether, because as I'm outside the listening to it, man, even some of the people who tune into the radio station from this side of the pond, they can't believe that people actually believe these people are going to help them. They're not going to help you at all.
No.
She's going to be worse than Obama. Worse. Yeah. She's not going to be like Obama. Worse. Obama didn't have a record of locking up black people wholesale. He didn't have that record. She has got that record, right? And, you know, the way I see her disrespect her father. Look, I come from, my parents are Jamaican, yeah? Mm-hmm. And I know one thing. I don't know, you know, I know you're African and you might have some Jamaican friends and you know Jamaican people, but I know Jamaican people because my parents are them, my family them. And I know one thing. When you disrespect your parents like that,
why don't
your
the
father,
clown worry about is... London and how they beating up on...
All right. Never mind.
Clown should talk about that?
Don't allow this to happen, Bob.
No, Jay, don't do that, man. Jay, don't do
that. Don't
it.
Let this happen. Yeah. Seriously,
I don't have any respect for that clown.
I ain't got no time to waste with this.
Yeah. So listen, I got to go. It's 1 o'clock. I got to go.
It's 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
So this is a terrible way to end this program. But thank you, Brother Paul. Thank you, all those who were called. And we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program, undoubtedly, is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources everybody wants, think they can't do it out, and they shown a hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, Shem Hotel, that means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. BB48 means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Peace, family. Don't want to pay for.